Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is a man who calls himself Royal Cat. I'm going to introduce him right away, even though the regular interview part of the show won't come until later. There's several news items to discuss first, and possibly Royal Cat has something to add to the discussion about these items. RC has been an Advantage video poker player for almost as long as I have, and will share some interesting stories with us. The inspiration for his video poker success was Max Rubin's Comp City. That book had nothing to do with video poker, but a lot to do with beating the casino at the comp system by being sneaky. As most of us know, if you're not sneaky, you're probably not an Advantage player. Royal Cat, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Hey, thanks for having me.
In the news this week, the November 9 from the World Series of Poker main event was played Monday and Tuesday evening, crowning new champion Ryan Reese. I watched several hours of the almost live telecast. I thought it was fascinating and much better TV than what we saw last year. Munch, did you get to see any of this?
You know, I thought about it a couple of times, kept saying, oh, I have to go turn that on, and I never did. But so did they not have the long pauses that the year before?
There were not the long pauses. So it was those of us who were used to seeing televised poker where you could see the whole card to everybody, that part was missing. So you actually had to actually play poker and try to figure out what they had. But the at the end of the hand, they would show the cards. But it was a 15-minute delay, so they couldn't show them early, or people might delay and then get a clue from the people in the audience about what things were. So they did not show the cards until the hand was over. Did you see it, Royal?
No, I didn't see it. But I have read about it and am amused by it.
All right. In New York State, a ballot initiative this week allowed 7 new Vegas-style casinos. This is probably bad news for video poker players. Currently at Racinos in that state, which is a casino in a racetrack, there is state-sponsored cheating at video poker. The cards are not dealt randomly. A game that appears to be 99 to 100% is actually something like 92%. The state basically taxes video poker players to help their budgetary problems. Whether that's unfair or not kind of depends on your perspective. Somebody has to pay the taxes. Sin taxes on such things as tobacco, alcohol, gambling are a popular way for states to raise money. Now, exaggerating slightly, I personally don't mind if your sins are being taxed, but it ticks me off if my sins are being taxed. I don't know if the new casinos will have similarly gaffed machines, but it's likely that New York video poker players will be better off going out of state for their gambling fix.
I have to disagree with you, Bob. They're not really taxing video poker players. They have what is basically a slot machine that has cards as the symbols, and the slot machine holds 8%. That's not a tax. I mean, they're taxing the racino, but they're not taxing you, the player. So they're giving you a bad slot machine to play and making it look like video poker.
Right. They're making it look like video poker, but it's not.
It's deceptive.
Yeah, I agree it's deceptive.
Deception has no place in gambling, period.
In Washington, they do this also, and it's funny because it doesn't matter whether you hold the cards or not, it's going to pay you what it was going to pay you.
But do people know that? No, they don't.
Educated gamblers know it, and the civilians, they don't care anyway. But what I'm arguing with, though, is you're calling it a tax on video poker players. It's just, you know,
it's
a bad
tax
name.
On stupid video poker players or ignorant video poker players who don't know that they're being ripped off.
Well, okay, but the tax is on the casino. They're not charging you taxes, or you're using tax as a more generic word to mean.
All right, I think we both made our points. Yeah. We don't really okay. want to get bogged down in semantics. There'll be other times tonight we'll get bogged down in semantics. All right, in the Nevada news, Wynn Casinos created a house rule several years ago that the tips that normally go to dealers needed to be shared with their supervisors. This allowed the Wynn Corporation to pay their supervisors less because their customers were paying part of the salary, so to speak. The dealers didn't like this. Go figure. And this is one of the main reasons why the dealers voted to unionize. In a court ruling within the past week, the Nevada Supreme Court unanimously ruled that this tip-sharing policy was legal and could continue. What do you make of this, Richard? You were a dealer once.
Well, I think they've not thought about the unintended consequences of this. Yeah, I was a dealer, and back when I was a dealer 30-plus years ago, for example, crap crews cut their own tips. And it was common for the box man to get paid off by the crew. And because of that, the box man now had an incentive for the dealers to go out and hustle tokes because he knew he was getting cut in. And I think Wynn is going to find out that when the bosses are in on the tips, they're going to encourage dealers to go out and start hustling strongly for tokes. And, you know, it's just in their best interest. So I think that this will end badly. Royal Cat, you got anything to...
Oh, I sure do. I've never been a dealer, so I'll speak only as a customer. I don't like tip sharing. I don't like my tips being shared. I liken it to spitting in the ocean. You know, when I'm giving a tip to a person... TIP stands for to ensure promptness. It's an incentive to get good service. When you divide it over a bunch of people randomly that you have no choice over and they all get 6 cents apiece, there's not a lot of incentive there. And this is basically why I've pretty much stopped tipping entirely for gambling.
And you're cheap.
Of course, absolutely. but seriously, I mean, tipping for gambling is kind of silly anyway. As Stanford Wong says, I give up value, but I don't get value unless they're doing something they're not supposed to do. But I want my tip to go to the person that it's intended for, or else there's no point.
All right, but this wasn't a case of whether it was going to, or the individual dealers would keep their tips, which they do have in a few places. This was whether the tips are pooled with just the dealers or the dealers and the supervisors.
Well, I agree with what Richard said. I mean, however you look at it, it's still pooling and it's still destroying the original incentive, and you have unintended incentives like the ones that Richard mentioned.
Well, but you have new incentives now, and this might be very good for a player. I mean, if the boss knows that he's in on the tips and you tip well and say to the boss, hey, what do you have my average bet as? And what do you have my loss as? You know, wouldn't surprise me that your average bet may go way up. You know?
You're right. I changed my mind. It makes my head hurt thinking about these things.
All right, let's let your head hurt about something else. In my online article over the past 2 weeks at LasVegasAdvisor.com, I wrote about the methods used at the Suncoast Casino in Las Vegas. They have a type of mousetrap where they offer 99.64% bonus poker deluxe for $5, which means $25 per hand. And they offer regular 7x point days, which means 0.70%. This adds up to a third of a percent. And on a game where you can play $20,000 per through the machines per hour fairly easily, that's a $60 bonus, which is higher than average for Las Vegas casinos. Players who play the game under these conditions more than occasionally get 86th. There's different levels of 86, but they're not allowed to play it. I surmised in the article that this was an intentional mousetrap set up by the Suncoast to identify who the smart video poker players are so they could kick them out of their casino and the other related properties, namely Gold Coast, Orleans, and Sam's Town. I stated that I thought this was legal on their part, but I didn't think it was very smart. Now, I get a note from Royal Cat saying that he wasn't so sure that what they were doing was legal. What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean that just because a casino is doing something and may have been doing it for a long time does not necessarily mean it's legal. It just may mean that nobody has successfully challenged it or attempted to. I wish Bob Nersessian were here because he could clarify some of this. But my understanding of licensed gaming in Nevada, which goes back to Nelson Rose's landmark book in 1986, Gambling in the Law, is that casino gambling is considered bad. It's against the public policy of the state. We don't want gambling because it's bad. It's a privilege to operate a casino. And if you jump through all these hoops, and if you pay the cost of the investigation, and if you dot every I and cross every T that we say, and follow absolutely everything, and we still like you, maybe we'll give you a license. But we don't have to. And if we do give you a license, we're going to require that at all times you operate your business honestly and on the up and up.
So how does what the Suncoast did violate that?
Well, there's a very broad term called an unsuitable method of operation that is in the Nevada gaming regs. It's actually in Regulation 5. And all through the regs, you read through it. You do this, don't do that, and it's an unsuitable method of operation. You can be fined, and we can revoke your license. And it's very broad. It's basically, it's like conduct becoming an officer in the military. It's anything we don't like or that will bring ill repute to the state. So here is a paragraph from Regulation 5. And you tell me, this is one of the things they consider to be an unsuitable method of operation. Failure to conduct advertising and public relations activities in accordance with decency, dignity, good taste, honesty, and inoffensiveness, including but not limited to advertising that is false or materially misleading.
So when they offer 7x points and or 10x points, you think that reg says they got to offer it to everybody, and just because you come in and play it, they can't kick you out?
Well, that's actually a whole nother subject that's called open gaming. There was an open gaming law that originally said that all games had to be open to all players, which has since been revised to some extent, which is why I wish Bob were here. But no, it's the honesty and inoffensiveness part that, and the false and materially misleading advertising part that I have a problem with. Your contention is that they're deliberately setting that up, and I think you'd find that a little bit difficult to prove. But were that true? Yes, I think that's clearly in violation of the regs.
Well, this has gone on for years with blackjack as well, where casinos will have a particular blackjack game that they watch very closely, usually like the double deck games on the strip, you know, just to spot card counters and throw them out. But I just find it incredibly stupid for them to 86 people for playing this video poker game. All they have to do is say you don't get any comps, right? If they just say your car, you know, you can play all you want, but you're not allowed any comps.
Yeah, I don't get it either, because I guess they don't want you bowling either.
Yeah, right.
You can't seeing movies. Yeah, because there is no way to win at slots or video poker without that card. Without that player's card, you're out. That's not true in blackjack. In blackjack, they have to physically keep you away from the table, which is why they're typically more heavy-handed. But I guess maybe they don't always understand the difference.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, they clearly don't understand the difference. Yeah.
Or maybe they just don't like us.
Well, there's that too. Yeah.
All right. Now, Royal Cat, you talked to us, Rich and I, earlier about a play you had up north in some unspecified place up north. I'm assuming south of Alaska, but I'm not sure how far up north. Tell us about this interesting play.
Well, I'll tell you, basically, I'll give you the outlines of it, but I can't really go into detail. It would take the whole show, maybe several shows. It's a dead play, but there also is at least one person that might not want me to talk in detail about it right now. But I will say this. There were two couples playing this particular place for more than a year, and they were making $1 million per couple each. And that's before all the ancillary benefits, like drawings and other things. So I came along, and I found it. And they were obviously worried that three couples was a crowd. And in the first time in my career, I was offered money to go away.
How much were you offered?
I was first offered $20,000 on the spot.
You didn't take it, obviously.
Well, I figured anybody that would offer $20 certainly offer $50.
Okay.
So I said, how about $50? And they said, well, yeah, maybe over time. I guess they wanted to, pay me, dole it out over time to make sure I was staying away. But then I figured, well, if they're willing to go for $50, how much is it really worth? Well, it's a good thing I didn't take them up on it, because I ended up making about five times that much in 3 months before the play died.
Uh-huh.
That's a good play.
That was a good play.
Yeah.
Now, was it easy to get to?
No, it was very far away from me, and it required me moving my base of operations. I basically had to move a very, very long distance. It's kind of fun, though, to go to a nice new area. The scenery is beautiful. There's lots of new casinos to explore. And we rented a beautiful house that was really, seriously, one of the nicest houses in the whole area. And we looked, and it had a beautiful view, and I really missed that house. And I wanted to buy it, but the owner wanted too much money for it and wanted to save it for his retirement. But while I was there, I was also busy doing every other play I could in the area, and everything was very, very far away. So I put 30,000 miles on my car and balded my tires over a year's time, driving here, there, and everywhere to pick up money from various casinos. One in particular, I just went there for a short time and played for like a couple of hours, and they sent me $10,000 over 2 months, $200 a day, every day. So for a period, I was actually driving to casinos like this one late at night on very narrow, windy roads with no lights, some of them overlooking.
Why didn't you turn on your lights?
Well, I said the streets didn't have any lights, but
sorry.
I did. And typically these would be at midnight, because I would do what's called a straddle, which is if they offer you money on Monday and they offer you money on Tuesday, you show up Monday at, say, 11:45, depending on how close you want to cut it, pick up the money then, wait for 12:01, and pick up the money for Tuesday. And then if you have two people, like I had my girlfriend, I would pick up money for both of us. So that one casino was $800 per midnight straddle. but it meant that you were, or I was driving at midnight on these windy roads, and there were a lot of hazards besides the dark. There were foxes, there were a family of raccoons, many deer. There was one sign up there that said major deer crossing.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen that before, and I managed not to hit any deer, but wow, there were, we squashed a few possums, but we managed to see deer and even one galloping bear running away down the road. And
Running Bear, that'd be a good song.
Got it.
You were in the boonies.
Yeah, well, also, there were cops. I guess I wasn't really the best driver. I mean, I wasn't, like, nodding off and or anything, but you try driving those roads again and again late at night.
Well, for $800 every other day, I wouldn't mind trying it.
Well, the cops pulled me over 3 times for drunk driving, and I was stone cold sober all the times. In one case, the somebody had zoomed right up in back of me. I noticed that and got my license plate and told the cop that, you know, there was this dangerous guy on the road who was me. So I got pulled over for drunk driving, and my first thought was, uh-oh, I've got 45 minutes to get to the casino or I'm going to miss the first $400. I hope he makes this quick. Well, he was absolutely convinced that I was on something, so he was going to give me the full Monty. Out the car, he was going to give me, this is my first real, you know, field sobriety test. And the first thing he said is, Royal, stick out your tongue. So I did, and he goes, yeah, that's what I thought. It's clear to me, Royal, that you've been smoking marijuana.
Ah, you can tell by sticking out your tongue.
Well, apparently it was green, and green plus weaving on the road meant pot. So I said, no, I haven't smoked marijuana since like 1976. It makes me paranoid. It turns me into Dennis Hopper. I don't like it. He wasn't buying any of it. He was certain that he was going to take me in. So then he started asking, well, what have you had to eat? Well, I had eaten at the buffet like I did almost every night because it was free. And I said, well, I had a lot of broccoli. And I had the tri-tip and I had this and that. And I described in detail what I had. And he started laughing at one point, and that's when I knew he was starting to believe me. And then he took my pulse, and at one point he paused and said, okay, at this point I'm almost convinced that you're sober. Good. Maybe you're just a bad driver. And I was like, great. I got 20 minutes to get to the casino. Can I go now?
Did you make it?
I did make it. With like, I think, 6 minutes to spare.
Now, you do this regularly, so how much time do you to spare? Because if you're 2 minutes late, you lose $400, or in this case. But if you're a half hour early, well, it might be cheap insurance. So what do you do?
Well, I always start out being pretty conservative. So I think the first time I might have even done allowed 2 hours. It was an hour drive. I think it was like a 70-minute drive, so I allowed 2 hours the first few times. Because you never know what can go wrong. You're not familiar with the territory. There might be, in some parts of the country, you have to worry about unexpected traffic at any time. So
not 11:45 at night.
It's happened where I live because they closed the roads at that time to do construction work.
Uh-huh.
And you can really find yourself backed up. And then as time goes by, I shorten it to what I think is a safe comfort zone. I think I ended up with about an hour and a half. After that cop pulled me over, I probably added a few more minutes to it.
Did you ever consider, with all this money you were making, paying for driving lessons? So that would solve that.
Absolutely not. I did go to driving school once because we did get pulled over for speed, but I did that online.
Yeah, well, driving school and driving instruction are...
Hey, I have a clean record. I have no DUIs. I have no accidents.
Okay, very good.
And a lot of money.
You had
a lot of picked up money.
You sometimes play tournaments. Now, there's one time that you won a $200,000 baccarat tournament, and it turned out badly. What happened?
Well, I wouldn't quite put it that way, but let's just say it didn't go smoothly. You know, in general, if you think about it, taking a lot of money out of a casino never really goes smoothly, does it? It's not really supposed to. Well,
a tournament's different. They have already budgeted that money to give to somebody.
But not to me. I'm a slot player, and these are table games tournaments. The table games tournaments tend to be for the biggest money, and they're, I guess, originally envisioned only for table games players. The table games people really look down their noses at us slot players. We're second-class citizens to them. Even though slots actually produce more revenue than table games today, they don't really care about that. But at one particular strip casino, I was one of their biggest players, and I hadn't had a very good run of luck for a couple of years. So that made it even better because they felt comfortable. This is actually a casino that a lot of people had been thrown out of, too. But not me.
That narrows it down to 84 of them in this town.
Well, that's about as far as I want to narrow it down. But because I had escaped, partially because I had done so poorly there, which happens. I did well other places, but here they felt comfortable inviting me to big events. And I got an invitation in the mail to their biggest baccarat tournament of the year. First place was $250,000 in promotional chips, which I'll explain later. And it also came with a provision that said if I earned a $12,000 theoretical win, which is a lot of play, meaning that for the amount of play they wanted, the casino expected that I would over time lose $12,000, they would allow me to advance directly to the semifinals, which was one level below the final table. So naturally, I wanted to do that because that was the best deal. So I played my game, several hundred thousand in action in video poker at a game which was actually a break-even game, by the way. And I earned the $12,000 theoretical, and I lost just about that much, too. So I didn't do so well. But I was happy. I'd be going to the semifinals, and I walked over to get my slip, and they said, oh, no, 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 no. Not for you. Slot players don't get that deal. That's only for table games players. And I said, really? Well, where does it say that on the invitation, the mailed invitation, which I have in my hand here, which says any player? Or that slip that they gave me that said welcome to the tournament when I checked in at VIP? Or that sign over there, right there, that's posted that says you can earn this theoretical and go to the semifinals. What about that? And they said, well, we didn't really mean that. That's not for slot players. And clearly they'd had a huddle and they'd all decided this. So I went to the tournament, the event director, who was clearly an ex-football jock. He was clearly not hired for his skill and experience in gaming. And I said, you realize I'm going to have to go to gaming enforcement over this because you broke a deal. And he said, that's fine. We checked with legal. And they said, it's fine. Now, I don't really believe for a second that he actually went to legal and said, yeah, can we send out an invitation to our best players that say if you play a lot and lose your ass, we'll let you in the tournament and then pull the rug out from under them and say no. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't think that happened. But in his mind, he felt really comfortable. And I said, you have no chance of prevailing at this. So I went up to my suite, my dark, quiet suite, and called gaming enforcement. I have them on speed dial. And gaming enforcement, they're actual police officers. And they come out in 30 minutes or less, just like Domino's Pizza. They're really good about that. And I'm calling down, I'm waiting in my room. I don't know what's happening. So I call gaming again, and they say, yes, we have an agent on premises. They're talking to him right now. We'll call you and let you know what happens. So I have nothing to do now. It's 90 minutes till the semifinals. my fate hangs in the balance, and I just sit in my cold, quiet suite waiting for the phone ring. And finally it does, and it's the gaming agent. And she says, I've talked to the tournament director, and they've decided to let you in the tournament.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, thank you for that. What about the fact that they basically lied to me and tried to break a deal to one of their best customers? She sighed and went, he has assured me that will not happen again. So I went down and I advanced from the semifinals and made it to the final table. And at this point, I decided to make a deal with a team that was there. We would split. They had one person who had advanced to the final table from their team, and that person and I would make an even split of whatever we earned. And the reason I did this is because tournaments are very top heavy. They're
nice.
How
many players were at this final table?
I think it's 12, isn't it, in Baccarat? And the point is, though, that the first prize was $250,000, and like third place is much less, and or second place is much less, and third place is $120,000. So these tournaments, there's a lot of EV on average, but you really got to win them because they're very top heavy and they're very risky. And you can play a lot of these tournaments, and if you don't get the big prize, you're not getting the full value. So I made a deal. I won the tournament. And instead of calling me up on stage and congratulating me and with the spotlight, handing me the trophy, the crystal trophy shining. And the
10-foot-wide check.
Yeah, instead of doing any of that, they just said, here you go. So they weren't very classy. They were in a huddle pointing at me.
Did you have I would assume with your level of action, you must have had a pretty high-level host. Did you talk to your host about the way they were treating you?
I did, but it didn't do any good because at that point I had been invited not to return. So,
wow.
But the second part of this story is that these chips are promotional play once chips, which means they're really worth less than half. So the $250,000 are really only worth less than $125,000.
Not if you play them on roulette.
Wait.
You're not allowed to play them on roulette.
Wait, so if you make a bet at blackjack and you win the hand, they pay it, but they take the chip away at
correct.
The same time?
That's correct.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not play till you lose chips. So they're worth slightly less than half, depending on what game you play. The smart way to play these would be at a game where the wins are higher than even money, where they pay you many times to one. But they were smart enough not to let you do that. Or so I thought. But I was determined, because I knew a trick or two about this, and I was going to try every single trick I could to see if I could get better than even money. And I sat down in the Baccarat room, started ordering 25-year scotch, and they furiously went to the phones, started reaching for the phones. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? But after a time, they relaxed when they saw that I was betting the tie. So I bet the tie and kept betting it. And I turned those chips into almost $200,000 in real money, which was way more than I would have gotten had I played it at an even money game. So before long, I was walking home with a check for just shy of $200,000 and an invitation not to return.
Uh-huh.
And the next day, I was writing a check for almost $100,000 to those people I'd made a deal with on pretty much just a handshake. Because that's what happens in the gambling world frequently.
So why do you think you were barred? I mean, yeah, you weren't a table games player, but do you think they realized that you were a professional?
I was told that I played very well in the tournament. And yeah, I think that probably is part of it. But really, they just didn't like me going. They didn't like any of it. They didn't like me forcing their hand with gaming. They didn't like me winning. They didn't like me being a slot player.
Huh. That just seems crazy. I mean, they must have thought you're a winning slot player. If they thought you were a losing slot player, I can't believe they would have barred you.
I wasn't a losing player anymore after that.
Well, no, but if they looked at your slot action, you know, you were...
Yeah.
a big loser. So, I mean, it just – but casinos do really stupid things sometimes. Just crazy.
Yeah.
Now, he actually has not shared the name of the casino with me. My personal thought is it's one with the same name as a woman's magazine, but I actually don't want to say any name on the air.
Well, Maxim has been out of business for a long time, so.
Well, I would not call Maxim a woman's magazine. Okay, now, there's a time that you made $5,000 a day profit. For an extended period of time, and then they cheated you. We have about, say, 7 minutes.
Oh, I can cover that. Yeah, by the way, I exaggerated. It wasn't 5,000. It was only $47.50 a day in profit because it was a 99.95% game, and that 0.05% really adds up.
Pick 'em.
Yes. No, it actually wasn't that.
It wasn't pick 'em.
No, it was AP Deuces Wild.
Uh-huh.
And this play would never have happened. It was in a very far away place in the desert that I don't normally go to, first because it was so far away. And I'd been there before and never found anything particularly interesting. But one day they closed the freeway, and I had to take a 100-plus mile detour home. And so I decided to stop by at this place that was way out of the way and eat at their not-so-good buffet and scout the machines. And nothing they had was that special, but in the high limit room, I saw a very unusual game. They had AP Deuces Wild, 99.95% Deuces Wild in high denominations.
I'm sorry, what does the AP stand for? I'm not a video poker player.
It would be 15. It would be like NSU, and NSU is normally 16-10. This would be 15-11. So it's a 0.2% higher than normal NSU. It has a very similar strategy to NSU, but not identical. Is that close enough?
Yes. And so this is another one of these casinos that have had these silly tiered cards where they have, you know, the yellow, blue, and pink and gold level. And only the very top elite level gave you 0.1% cash back.
0.1.
Wow. Nobody else got any cash back. So I actually went in later and played for a couple of their card drawings just to see, you know, the mailers and see what would happen. And then nothing much happened. I lost a little. And then one day I got a note in the mail that they had fired their slot director and hired somebody from the tribe. And their new idea is, we're getting rid of the elite cards. Everybody's equal. 1% cash back on all games.
Wow.
Now, some of the people in this room are familiar with the concept of 1% cash back.
A long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. The Desert Inn tried it.
Desert Inn.
Didn't go well.
Free tournament, yes.
The problem with 1% cash back is it pretty much turns almost every video poker game positive, if you know how to play. And
a subset of video poker games positive, yes.
A large swath. Uh-huh. So apparently they hadn't heard of the Desert Inn or their experience. So I went out there to see if this was real and immediately ran across a person who I knew well, an AP, and he saw me and went, "Oh, not you." Because he thought he was going to have this play to himself, and he was worried now that I was going to bring the hordes. But it ended up just being him and me, actually, for a month and a half. And eventually I got into a routine where I would either drive the long drive there or sometimes stay over in the casino, play 10 hours at 50,000, basically 500,000 in action or half a royal cycle every day. And then late
that
at
sounds
night,
like $10 single line machines.
No, it's $5 five play actually.
Okay.
And he and I would both do that and we would.
Yeah, you're accidentally banging on the table. Yeah, Munchkin's trying to tell you don't do that.
Okay. I would have to cash out then at the end of the day $5,000. And this always made me nervous because, A, it's late at night. I'm tired. I want to go home. I don't want any trouble. And this is the time of night when nobody's there. It's like, well, the person you want to see is, you know, not here. So I was for sure thinking that I'd be bounced all around to five different people before they found somebody. But actually, no. Believe it or not, I would just go to the slot club every night. They'd sign for $5,000 cash back, and I'd walk out the door. And I did this for 17 days. But I got away with it.
I have to say you were smart enough to do this every night because I've heard these stories of guys who let hundreds of thousands accumulate and then, of course, you know, are shocked when they don't want to pay it.
Well, finally,
they allow you to collect it $25 a day.
Yeah. Finally, on one of the last times, there was nobody there but a table games gangster. That's my name for the table games guys.
These the pit critters.
A D's, Dem, and Doe's kind of guy. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm going to sign for $5,000. What, are you crazy? What? I'm not going to do this. This is exactly what I was afraid would eventually happen. But I did manage to find somebody to sign for it, and I walked out with my pockets stuffed with cash.
And then it ended, or?
It ended when one day we came in, and as to paraphrase comedian Richard Pryor, the stuff been changed.
The stuff been changed.
Everything was different, and the attitude was completely different. They had a card drawing with $1,000 prizes that it turned out that we managed to find out that they had 610,000 total electronic entries, and me and my cohort had 200,000 of them. But they weren't calling our names. And my friend has estimated that, considering the number of names they called and that, the odds of us not being drawn were 1,000,000,000,000 to 1 against that.
Uh-huh. You just run bad.
I went to this slot event director, and it was clear from his attitude that they had just simply taken us right out of the drawing, which I guess they can do in electronic drawings any place outside of Nevada.
Yeah, and Indian casinos, they can do anything.
But you got them for $80,000.
No, I my actual expected value was about $71,500, but I actually, both of us did worse than that. I only came away with only about $43,000. Not a bad payday for 17 days. I think I was about 2 royals short. I was supposed to have gotten about 8 royals, and I got 6. Which is not unusual at all.
Yeah, the when you're playing 5-play, it does smooth out the swings a lot, but you're also dependent on dealt hands. So dealt royals, which would be 25,000 in that game, would be
100,000.
I'm sorry, dealt deuces would be 25. And
yeah, I got dealt deuces 3 times, but actually I was playing mostly the 3-play because I did an experiment and I found that I could beat my friend on the 3-play. I could play faster than him on the 3-play than he could on the 5 because of the taxables.
Uh-huh. Very good. This is interesting. We're going to do some commercials, and then we have some more questions for you, depending on how much time we have. So, Munch, are you thinking about becoming a video poker player on all these obsolete plays?
You know what? Once I move back to town, I do plan on taking up video poker. But right now, I live, the closest casino is like 100 miles away. So I can't imagine driving 100 miles every so often to.
My lessons start at 500 in an hour.
I know somebody in this room who has lessons somewhat cheaper than that.
Yeah. Free at the South Point.
Well, the lessons you want aren't taught at the South Point. Now, we do teach the basics of the game at the South Point, but Royal Cat will tell you the real textbook is Comp City by Max Rubin, which tells you a whole lot more than what we tell at the South Point.
In my opinion, that is the best book I've ever read on the subject of gambling, and it changed my life. And even though technically the information in it is dated, there's nothing like it. And I probably would not be an AP today if I hadn't read that book. Yeah. I definitely would not have.
I have to say, I think more money has been won by the information in that book than any book written probably since Beat the Dealer by Thorpe.
It's also easily the most entertaining read of any gambling book.
Have you read Sex, Lies, and Video Poker?
I haven't gotten around to that one. Well, it's probably stacked up on my toilet.
That one might be entertaining as well. All right. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. That's more than anyone else has. If you earn 1,000 video poker points or 400 slot points between Sunday, November 17th and Thursday, November 21st, you get a free Norbest turkey Monday through Wednesday of the following week. So These will be frozen, so don't pick it up late Wednesday if you want to serve it for Thanksgiving. The double point day in November is Thanksgiving Day, midnight to midnight, no limit. Look for me at the Quick Quads machine. The free video poker class this coming week is double bonus Deuces Wild. This game combines Deuces Wild with double bonus poker. Compared to the last class, NSU Deuces Wild, this game returns more for five of a kinds and straight flushes and less for full houses, flushes, and straights. Each of these pace schedule elements affects the strategy. Even if you don't think this is the game you play, the class will be useful to learn how changing the pace schedule affects your strategy. The class begins Tuesday noon in the showroom. It's free, and everyone at least 21 years old or older is welcome. At the Palms, the Friday and Saturday night drawing this week, and throughout the entire week, there'll be 10 winners every Friday and Saturday night. They each get $500 and a 1 in 20 chance at a $20,000 prize on Saturday. This means each winning has an EV of $1,500, although 19 out of the 20 people will only receive $500. You have five times entries on Friday night and Saturday night between 8 and midnight. Play, earn, and win for the first part of November, which ends tomorrow, Friday. This is Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It includes a Kindle Paperwhite, pseudo-down comforter, and bed sheets. As always, you keep your points. Unredeemed points Monday may be spent Wednesday or Friday. Unredeemed Wednesday points may be also spent Friday. The new PEW start this coming Monday. The top prize appears to be a Chromebook computer. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, you earn free play for your play. This essentially means double points 2 days a week, up to around $85,000 coin in on Tuesday and Thursday. VideoPoker.com gives away a free gold membership to everyone who attends one or more of my free video poker class at the South Point. The gold membership allows you to avoid the pop-up commercials on the site and also gives you correction on many games, such as Quick Quads, where you don't get correction anywhere else. On most games, if you have the gold membership, you can change pay schedules and still get the corrections. They have daily contests. Today until midnight is Ultimate X. Tomorrow, November 8th, there will be Super Times Pay. Saturday, Spin Poker. Sunday, Dream Card Poker. If you're unfamiliar with these games, the site is a very good place to learn them for free, so that you're playing at your best when you go into the casino. Our guest next week will be former co-host Michael Shackelford, who goes by the name Wizard of Odds. Mike has figured out some interesting stuff about professional football parlay cards. In 2 weeks, we'll be hosting blackjack player Joe Payne. On our last show, movie director Scott Bell said a lot of things about Joe Payne, which Payne wants to rebut. We'll only be spending a short time on the rebuttal, but Joe Payne has lots of other interesting things to talk about as well. You've known Joe for years, is that right?
Yeah, and actually I just ran into him last night down on Fremont Street. So he's a poker player as well as a blackjack player, and he should have plenty of interesting stories to tell.
Yeah, he's actually has at various times been a host of a radio show. I've actually been on his show a couple times. So, good. All right. So, Royal Cat, we have a couple minutes for before we have to go. Now, something you called a Southwest slum. What was that all about?
Well, this is one of those workaday plays that it makes good money, but it's really just a job. It was a place that was far away that I'd heard of, that I had to fly to, and it would take 4 days for the entire play, but one day a week they would have one of those traditional promotions that can be very profitable, you know, triple points and card of the day where a particular four of a kind paid double, and then they had the right games. So it was a 102% game, but you had to, in order to play that day, it took 4 days. You had to fly in, then you had to do some preparation to pick up some money, and then you, that day, you would actually play, have to play the whole day, like 16 hours to really make it profitable, and then fly back. So it was a 4 day thing, and you would earn about $4,000. And, you know, it was good money, but hard work and stressful. And it was kind of a slummy place. It was a slummy place because nobody wanted to gamble there. That's why all the customers had gone to the more attractive sister property. And you often find this, that the best promotions are at slummy places because they know they're slummy and they have to compete. And I had to stay in a slummy hotel where the deadbolt didn't work. Oh. And you know how hotels here, there's some...
With $4,000 in your pocket and the deadbolts
right.
don't work.
Right. Not a good combination.
Did you take a gun with you or anything?
Well, here's the thing. I was in the middle of nowhere. And originally I rented a car to drive from the airport to this place that was about 70 miles away. And then I realized what a waste of money because there's nothing to do and nowhere to go with a car except play. So I don't need a car, especially when I found out that since I was such a big VIP, they would send a car for me.
Good.
That would actually, well, but it wasn't a limousine. Would you like to guess who gave me the ride from the airport? I have a feeling Richard might guess it.
I don't know. They sent a maintenance worker or something.
No, what would be even funnier than that? How about an off-duty cop?
Oh, good.
Off-duty cop gave me the ride.
From the tribal police? Or?
No, not for the a real cop. And of course,
actually, that would be comforting going out.
Well, it's comforting until you realize that how is this going to be when it goes bad? He might be giving me a ride someplace else.
True.
And they did, in fact, start 86ing people.
Well, cops are, cops aren't going to hold you up, at least in most places.
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of that going on now, actually. I mean, you know, they claim it's drug money or whatever. But, yeah, I guess in this case it'd be hard for
the... Oh, ye of too much faith.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we got about 1 minute to go. Is there more to the story than that, or are we it?
No, I think that's pretty much covers it.
I think we learned some important things today, actually, and one of them is what you just said, that often the scummiest, out-of-the-way, in-the-middle-of-nowhere places are the places where you find the best...
Well, I said slummy, not scummy.
Oh, okay.
I know you said slummy, but I heard scummy. I think that's what your tone of your voice did say, scummy. Now, in 30 seconds, how did you get the name Royal Cat?
Well, I was waiting for a $20,000 royal flush to be paid off at the Mirage a million years ago, and my girlfriend looked at me and said, "You're the royal cat." I presume she said that because I chase royal flushes and good sushi with equal predatory zeal. Plus, I'm told I'm pretty cat-like.
Uh-huh. Very good. Thank you, Royal Cat. Thank you, Richard Munchkin. Everybody go out and hit lots of royal flushes. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.